Skip Symphony.
Hello and welcome to another Filmwork podcast. Regular listeners might be surprised to hear a female voice greeting them this morning rather than the lovely Scottish lilt of our editor-in-chief, Stephen Hurst, who has wisely decided to stick this one out for reasons which will become clear as we get into what we're talking about.
Has Stephen got a Scottish lilt?
If you ask me.
I don't think I've ever thought Stephen has a Scottish lilt.
I know. The first time he told me he was Scottish, I was like...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, of course you are. Okay, so I am Suzanne King, and joining me today is the very lovely, the very Lauren. Talented Lauren Cracknell. Lauren, hello.
Talented in there as well, yep, I like that. Yeah, can you that. Add beautiful...
Do you just want to write the script?
Intelligent.
Athletic?
Charming.
Charming, good one, yep.
And obviously very well spoken.
Terribly well spoken, unlike me. Anyway, today we are going to be talking about the Twilight Saga. It's going to be a full retrospective podcast, so we've got lots of ground to cover. We're going to be looking at each of the films individually, the franchise as a whole, the book series that started it, and the legacy it's left. Obviously, when I say the legacy it's left, I'm talking about 50 Shades of Grey, which
oh,
I think we need
goodness.
To talk about, purely because there's a film coming out.
I still haven't read the third book.
Of 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah.
It's really bad, don't bother.
I got halfway through the second.
Yeah.
And I've lost interest.
Do you want me to tell you what happens in the third book of 50 Shades of Grey?
They get married. And he becomes normal. And it's every girl's dream.
It is every girl's dream. Enough of that nonsense. We've got a big old undertaking to get through and not a lot of time to get through it.
Yes, go on, the first one.
So let's
one.
Get down to business. The first film, film one, Twilight.
Best of the... How many is there?
There's
five. Isn't there? Best of the five.
You think it's the best of the five?
I do.
Why so?
I think at this point, they didn't... I mean, this is questionable. They say they didn't realise it would be as huge as it was.
They must have known, because the book series was always
they must
already
have had
massive.
A,
an inkling.
Yeah. But I just think they obviously did it with a low budget. They did it with actors who weren't particularly well known at the time, hadn't gotten to the point where you wanted to slap them to death. There wasn't like really shitty special effects. So it wasn't like we're getting billions of dollars of income from this film, but we're still spending $5 on special effects.
This film cost $35 million to make, and it made that back on its opening day.
There you go.
I think that tells you all that they must have realised how massive it was going to
yeah.
be. I don't really see how that it was a commercial risk.
But it did feel like a smaller film.
Yeah, it's certainly not... felt more independent-y kind of.
Yeah, and I don't think. I mean, it wasn't great. It was a nice piece of I think teenage or you know I'm having a crappy weekend and my love life sucks. I'm just going to stay in and watch this.
Which is totally...
It's Romance Bad Vampires.
That's totally why I went to see that film twice, because I was having a crappy
time.
You
went to see it twice?
I did, I went to see it at the cinema twice, so I contributed to that money that it took worldwide.
I did not go to see it at the cinema.
$1 million. Didn't.
No.
Well, you should have done, because it was great.
I actually own it on DVD. Admittedly, it was one of those, you know, £4 bargain DVDs, but I think it's... I can watch it more than once, and I don't want to gouge my eyes out and stab forks in my ears.
I don't know, I think of the five films and the five, no, five books, there's four books, of the four books, the first one is the best in terms of story and characterisation and everything. I just think it's the best.
It's before things just got silly.
Yeah, I think because it was so successful, I think everything that came after it was allowed to... It wasn't so tight, you know? Because it was going to be a success, they would just let it get really fleshy and fat and, you know, in terms of the books, what the hell is the point of book three? We'll get to that when we talk about the third film.
You have to remind me, because it all blurs into one now, so I can never really remember what happens in each thing.
Well, not a lot happens in the third one. Anyway, casting. Should we talk about casting? Because I remember when RPATS was cast, and there was a massive backlash from the Twilight fans. Yeah, they were like, he's not Edward, he's not handsome enough to be Edward, who the hell is this English boy? He can't be Edward, he's just not Edward.
Well, his dad is Harry Potter.
Exactly. There was such a backlash from the Twihards, before they were called Twihards, obviously, on the Tinterweb.
But now they worship
him. Now they absolutely worship at the feet of RPATS, which, actually, I think... He does do a good job with a character that is a bit sketchily drawn.
I feel, okay, admittedly this is a man who, you know, has got endless money, never really has to work again, can only financially has to ever choose scripts that he finds interesting.
And he does do that, which I really like about him.
But you kind of feel sorry because you do think he's a nice British boy and he wanted to be an actor. And he... obviously didn't think through the whole Twilight, I mean. And he's kind of fucked himself.
Because
it's going to take him a very long time to get out of this.
Like, he's never going to be able to sort of shake off the shackles of being Edward Cullen.
Yeah. And being kind of, you know, associated with this pile of what, you know, hardcore film watchers would say is big pile and steam shit.
Well, I think that...
I don't think he wants to be the heartthrob...
No, I don't think... I think he needs to be a character.
He obviously doesn't want to do that.
But also, I think, actually... Now, I personally don't find Robert Pattinson attractive.
To be honest, if I met him in a pub and he came on to me, I would not say no. I don't lust after him like Fassbender.
Fassbender.
Apparently, he lives out not far. He's Broadway Market Way, so maybe I should start hanging around there.
Stalking Michael Fassbender.
Hey.
Well, whatever works. What I was going to say is that... you know, when you're a young man, you can either be the romantic lead or you can be a character actor. And I always think that the tragedy, for example, of Brad Pitt is that he is a character actor stuck in a leading man's body.
Yes.
And as he's getting older, he's choosing roles that kind of take him away from being a leading man. And I think that RPATS actually...
He needs to get old.
His looks aren't... leading man looks, I don't think, but that's because I'm in my 30s and don't find him attractive because he's too young.
Well, he's not leading man looks of today's day and age. He's not, you know, a Ryan Gosling. He's not.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone else. That other one, that
Channing Tatum.
He's not like one of those. He's kind of funny looking. He's got big eyebrows.
He does it, although he had them waxed for the first film. Extensively waxed, which he later refused to do for the other film. So if you watch the Twilight films, his eyebrows get progressively bushier, which I really like about him. He's like, no, you're not waxing my eyebrows anymore. It hurts. No.
I think for him being cast in this, it would have been good if it had just stopped at the first film. He obviously signed a contract and had to stick it out.
Yeah,
but
it made £191 million the first film.
It would have been so much better for him if it stopped then. Anyway, let's move on to our favourite actress.
Oh, yes. Your favourite actress and mine. I can't even remember her name. It's Kristen Stewart. There we go. Hey, Stew.
Which is weird because she's someone who, as a child actor, was supposed to show this massive promise. And you get people like Jodie Foster saying she's amazing, she's awesome. But as far as what I've seen so far, I'm not sold on her.
I think, you know, I've seen Panic Room. She was very good in Panic Room.
I don't really remember it. I have seen it. I didn't even really remember it was her. I'm not a fan of little people. In acting.
I don't like little people.
I'm not a big fan of the whole child acting thing. I prefer to watch acting with grown-ups.
Okay, fair enough. Kristen Stewart. Yes, and she did...
Again, I think this would have been better for her.
That Into the Wild film, didn't she? She was supposed to be really, really good in that, which I didn't see. But
I think it would have also been better for her as an actress if this had stopped at the first film. Because it's as the films go on, which we'll jump onto later... that it gets progressively worse with her, and you're just like, seriously, are you just stoned throughout this whole freaking thing?
But the thing is that I'm not sure that she would be... Obviously, she's like one of the most highest-paid female stars in America at the moment.
Because she got onto a good franchise.
I don't think that...
I don't ever see this girl getting an Oscar.
God,
but then I think Oscars are a load of bullshit.
Well, they are a load of bullshit, so let's not even go there. I think that... Where the hell am I going with the point that I was trying to make that I've just completely lost? What I was trying to say is if she hadn't done Twilight, she would be nothing. She would be nowhere. She wouldn't have been cast in that dreadful Snow White and the Huntsman thing, which maybe it would have been a better film.
We'll get onto that later.
We'll get onto that later. But I, if she hadn't done Twilight, she would be nowhere. She would be nothing. She wouldn't. I don't find her performance in the first Twilight film as annoying as I do the later films. But I do still find the character of Bella Swan completely empty and vacant. Which
yeah,
I guess
but that's
the
same. Yeah, it's the same. It's where the 50 Shades has come from.
Yeah.
Where, what's her face?
Anastasia Steele.
Is an empty, vacuous hole to be filled.
To be filled
literally.
By the reader. To be filled by the reader, yes. Yeah.
So us women who have such empty lives ourselves and loveless and men are all shit, we can project our own feelings and ourselves into these characters so we can find some fulfillment in life.
Sad. If only that wasn't true. If only
what do you mean?
If only that wasn't. If only that wasn't the way. The reason they're written like that is that reason.
Okay, yeah.
I don't mean like. Yeah. Anyway. Right.
Personally, I don't subscribe to filling Bella Swan.
Yes. My question about the first film, aside from, you know, everything, is why
aside
is
from
so,
everything.
Aside from everything, why is it so blue? Every time I watch the first
film. Oh, yeah,
film,
it's tinted.
Why is it
so
tinted
much.
Blue? Why?
Moody. Because it rains in Forks, doesn't it, all the time?
Yeah, so why is it blue? They make
it
grey.
It rains all the time.
Yeah, well, I don't like
what
it.
I also think is what actually would have been much better is if they just made the first film, but then you've got the book that was never released because
Midnight Sun, have you read it?
I've read like the start of it. It's all from his point of view, isn't it? And it's more of a shame that, you know, the other crappy books that she just could have gotten rid of and just have those two sides of a story. That would have been much better.
Well, I can't argue with that, actually. I think that is
that's
true
all
because
was
I think,
ever needed.
I think the story of Twilight, it could have really just ended at the end of the first one, and that would have been actually very good. I think
we didn't need to know whatever
the rest of it.
Next.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the rest of it. I think we really need to talk about the central relationship between Bella and Edward.
Okay. Is this just in the first one, or are we going to cover the whole lot with this?
See, I'm not really sure, actually, how best to talk about
maybe
it.
Maybe we should just have a little comment on the other films. And
then come back to the
relationship.
Whole
overarching relationship.
Okay, right, we'll do that. So, score out of 5 for the first film.
Now, what is the context of this? Out of 5 when we are considering just the Twilight films, or out of 5 in the existence of films in general?
Oh, that is a toughie. Mm. Okay, well,
if it's within
the context
within Twilight universe, I'm going to say it's a 4.
Okay. Within films in general?
3.
Interesting. I would agree with both of those star ratings.
That's because I'm good.
You are very good. Film 2, New Moon, 2009.
Remind me, what the hell happened in this one? Oh, this is the werewolf.
The werewolf one.
Oh, yes, because this book I read just after I'd been dumped and it was brilliant.
Exactly!
Great therapy.
I quite enjoy the second book, actually, because I really like the beginning where he's left her, he's dumped her, and then in the book you're reading it and he's buggered off and then she's taken home and we'll talk about that in a little while. And it's... you turn the page and there's a chapter heading and it says like August, and you turn the page and the page is blank, and you turn it again September, turn the page blank, and I really like that that central like conceit of, you know, from the book perspective.
It was quite nicely filmed, that scene, as
well.
She was sat in the chair and the camera just
it's
pans around.
It's hugely parodied, that scene, though.
Yeah, and the whole Twilight thing's been parodied.
But no, I do quite enjoy that, how it spins round. And
what did we think of the film? I didn't think it... I thought it was fine till we got to the end.
I thought it wasn't blue. I was on board with the fact that it wasn't blue.
Yeah, but that's because we had the warmth of the werewolves.
Yes, and the warmth of Jacob, her own personal son.
Yeah.
And just very happy that they didn't replace Taylor Lautner, because they were going to replace him.
They? But he bumped.
My God, he was so huge that he had to then drop weight for the third film because he was too big.
Yeah.
Next to, because
that's not healthy for a young boy.
Because Robert Pattinson has a shirtless scene in New Moon. And after seeing Taylor Lautner, ridiculously buff Taylor Lautner, Edward Cullen looks so scrawny and pasty. And it's like, oh, mate. Oh, you picked the wrong film to do a shirtless scene in. I know you had a choice.
But he's still got that nice little, you know, it's called Stairway to Heaven. The little, you know, man fluff from the belly button.
can't remember what that was called either.
I'm going to say it's like... It's
called a pant ferret. There we go, pant ferret.
Yeah, he has got a nice pant ferret. That's what I remember about the show, this scene. I was like, he's like a weedy, pasty British boy, but he's got a nice pant ferret.
Bless him. Bless him. I do look. Bless him. He's a nice little
really
boy.
Really good. I think it's called a pant ferret.
It is totally called a pant... It was back in my day.
Do we need an Urban Dictionary?
I'm a little bit concerned.
Dora, readers can just, you know, look this up themselves. We'll exactly, let it as a question for them to find out.
Yeah, so obviously Taylor readers, Lautner...
Listeners.
Taylor Lautner bulked up massively.
Yep.
The character of Jacob?
Again, actually, now when I start to think and reflect about it, the second film, again, like I say, until the last 20 minutes, was not a bad film. It was watchable, and it was a nice, interesting kind of examination of getting dumped, having a man just walk out of your life for no apparent reason, and picking yourself up again.
But she doesn't pick herself up again. She starts to pick herself up. She doesn't. She can't function without. This is why I wanted to talk about the relationship.
Okay,
she cannot function. She literally. He leaves her. She collapses in the middle of the forest and just lays there and waits to die. I cannot stand Bella Swan for that reason. I literally.
Inside voice, Suze.
Sorry. I just feel very passionate about this. That he just. He's like, oh, you know, I don't want you anymore, Bella. And she's like. And then she just like lays in the middle of the forest and waits to die. Oh, you're fucking 16 years old. Christ almighty, if you can't cope with one fellow. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but something about soulmate, love my life, blah, blah, blah.
I hate
blah,
that
blah.
Kind of. That thing that, you know, you can't function without a man. And I hate the fact that these films propagate that ideal.
Oh, God. Yes.
And there's a whole generation of girls who are going to grow up thinking. They don't have a man.
You say a whole generation of girls. The amount of women I know are our age. We are 30s people. Early. Who are utterly just enamoured with this. And then it goes on to this 50 Shades as well. Yeah. Kind of this obsession and this need for wanting some ideal love. But then maybe we're just being bitter and twisted and we should just accept that it's just escapism.
Yeah, maybe we just need to accept it's escapism. But I really hate, you know, the fact that she doesn't pick herself back up. Jacob has to come and put her back together.
But I like the fact she finally starts to move on. She's obviously just moving on, and he comes back and messes it up.
Yeah,
Edward being the he.
Oh, Edward.
So I really don't like the last 20 minutes when they dash off to...
To Italy.
That nice Italian place. I really don't like that.
However, we are introduced to the Volturi and the wonderful Michael Sheen.
I love him. You can understand why he always gets really beautiful girlfriends, because he's just awesome.
Yes, he is awesome. And
funny, weird-looking little English man. He's just awesome.
He's Welsh.
Is he?
He's Welsh. English man.
Okay, sorry. Funny-looking little Welsh man.
But he's a very, very good actor. And what I like about him is that he quite enjoys doing this sort of role, because he was in Underworld. And he was a werewolf in that, but still.
He makes it fun to watch.
Apparently, originally... Hmm. The part of Aro, who is obviously played by Michael Sheen. I said Martin Sheen then, but that's somebody different.
That'd be brilliant.
That would be amazing. Ben Barnes was originally going to play.
Ben Barnes.
Ben Barnes, exactly.
Who's Ben Barnes?
Exactly. Okay, you know the Voyage of the Dawn Treader or whatever it's called?
Never watched. I still stick with my BBC
what about,
Narnia.
Oh, yeah, I used to love that, BBC Narnia.
I don't need no Hollywood. I just like my BBC
Disneyization.
1980s.
Okay, then, Ben Barnes also in... Picture of Dorian Gray, but a Portrait of Dorian, whatever Dorian Gray, they renamed it.
Oh, is he like the guy who played it?
Yes, the very, very handsome guy. Very handsome, but can't act. Incredibly handsome.
Yeah, very handsome, but
fucking hell, he's really handsome, but can't act for shit.
So we're happy Michael Sheen.
Very happy with Michael Sheen. And his performance is quite... I mean, he's very scary, but I just think he's very funny.
Yes. And as we'll go on to... Even in like the last films, he's just brilliant.
He just looks like he's having
he
so much
fun. He just relishes it.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm really enjoying myself. I'm getting paid to camp this up.
Yeah.
And camp it up he does.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the only person in the films who realises that, I think they all realise that they're in something that's slightly absurd, but I think he's the only one who puts that on screen.
Oh, like, yeah.
I know that this is ridiculous, and watch me be ridiculous in it, people. Oh, yeah, I'm winking at you at the camera as I do this.
Okay, so are we done with the second film? Which was called New Moon.
It was called New Moon, but I must tell you the budget for this film. I looked this shit up because I like to be prepared. Not quite twice the budget of the first film. It was 50 million.
Still, though, you can tell.
grossed $296 million. You can tell because the contact lenses and the wigs in the second film were so much better than the contact lenses and the wigs in the first film. And the special effects, the vampire glittery thing, which we need to talk about the vampire's glittery thing. I fucking hate that. It's much better in the second film, because in the first film she's like, it's like diamonds. It's like, no, it's not. It's like someone's gone to an ABBA concert, so just put some glitter on him.
When you were, do you remember those cans of glitter spray you used to get before you went out and just covered yourself in it?
Do I?
Oh, you're like, do I? I still have them.
Yeah, exactly. I really, really do. Okay, so rating wise.
in the universe of Twi 3.
Yep.
In films, maybe 2.5.
We don't do halves. We don't do halves.
I forgot two.
I would go 3.3.
I still think the first one's better than the second one.
I think the first one's better than the second one also, but I still have a little bit of affection for the second film. So, film 3, Eclipse, or as I like to call it, the pointless fucking waste of my time.
This is the one I have no idea what happened, because...
That's because nothing happens. Because, oh, who is she going to choose, Edward or Jacob? Well, she's going to choose Edward, because she's already chosen Edward twice before.
What actually
already
happened?
Well, this is the one where...
The ginger girl's back, to kill her.
They get an army
did
of...
Did she make... Oh, the baby vampires. Baby vampires. Okay, well, one thing I would say was quite nice about this film was... Oh, I've totally forgot his name. Its backstory.
Jasper.
Yes.
That's because Jasper's your favourite.
I love. He's just so pretty. And when he's just got such a good accent.
He does have a good accent.
I mean, that's something...
Yeah.
Droll. I mean, he's very... I think he's very handsome.
Okay.
But I think... Yeah, that was the nice thing, you got some backstory of, and it was better, it was played out better in the books, obviously, with more time and yes, attention to detail, but you did get some more.
Do you get all of the backstories in the third films? Because do you get like Rosalie's,
I think hers is more of the backstory in Breaking Dawn because of the
baby. Because I feel sorry for Rosalie.
Yeah, this is the sad thing about this series, this whole kind of like Twi world. You have got some good vampire characters with some really heartbreaking backstories and interesting backstories. The books, you get it more, but the films, it's just like, blink,
because,
gone.
Yeah, that's because the films, they're completely sidelined, because all that matters is the central relationship between Bella and Edward.
Which is just weird.
Which is actually, like, you've managed to spin out over five films the fact that, like, there's no... They're in love. There's no kind of... And it's not even like, oh, we can't be together because of... No, she knows he's a vampire. She accepts he's a vampire. She wants to be a vampire as well. There's no kind of elements of... Oh, I just hate them. Anyway, so, yes, as you said, this is the one where the ginger vampire comes back. But obviously the ginger vampire has been recast.
Hello, Bryce.
Really pisses me off, that does. Because Bryce Dallas Howard was originally offered this part.
And said no.
And said no
because
it's too small. And so, oh, now that it's grossing like $300 million, I'm happy
girl,
to be a part of it.
Clever girl.
But that really pisses me off. She's not even
I
that
I like
good.
Her hair, so I'm not going to complain.
Well, I like her hair as well. However, I don't think her performance was any better than the original Rochelle Lefevre, or however you pronounce her name.
There's
no absolute... Why not just have her, like, as a payoff? Congratulations, thank you so much for appearing in both of the other films in tiny, tiny roles, and here is your chance to actually put some meat on this character's bones. Oh no, we're going to take it away and give it to somebody who's more famous. Fucking Hollywood.
Yeah. I have low expectations.
They can say all they want about it being scheduling conflicts, stopping her.
Oh, everyone knows scheduling conflicts is bullshit.
Absolute bollocks.
Can we skip over Eclipse now, because it's pointless?
Well, can we just very, very quickly, this whole thing about she's got to choose between Edward and Jacob, and it's like a really difficult choice for her because she loves them both, and finally at the end of the film she admits that she loves them both, but she has to be with Edward.
And then the fourth and fifth film, and the fourth book, things get fucking weird.
They do get fucking
weird. Sorry, excuse my language.
But I just very, very quickly want to ask a question.
Go on.
Why would you choose Edward? Can you think of one reason why you would choose Edward? She has to sacrifice... To be with Edward, she has to completely give up her life. Literally, she has to die to be with Edward. She has to sacrifice her family. She has to sacrifice her friends. Not that she's really got any, because she's got no fucking personality, so why would anyone be friends with her anyway?
She doesn't really make an effort with her friends either. She just expects... She's all like, yes. Oh, I'm a loner. And I'm all on my own and no one understands me, but I won't actually make an effort or give a shit about anyone else.
Yeah, I think that really sums it up, love.
Exactly. She has to give up her friends. She can't have a career because she's a vampire and obviously she can't be around humans.
Dude, she's going to go and go into a vampire family.
I know, but
she's freaking loaded.
She has to give up her entire identity in order to be with Edward. Jacob even says to her, "You wouldn't have to change to be with me." He says it to her. "You wouldn't have to change. You could continue being yourself. We would fit together perfectly. There would be. You could just go on and live your life as an individual person, but with an awesome boyfriend who, or
inside
husband,
voice, inside
who loves
voice.
You." Sorry.
Yes.
Why would you choose Edward?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're just piling more shit on top of shit with this whole messages that we don't think are correct to send to women, and this is just another one.
I know.
The abusive, destroy your life boyfriend, or someone who honestly loves you for who you are and doesn't want to change you,
and who whenever you're with makes you feel really, really good.
Yeah, well,
women,
we all
are,
know what the correct choice is.
Well, I know, but every woman in the fucking world decides to go with Edward. What is wrong with womankind?
See, whereas I've been like, alright, I'm gonna bump off the Alice and have Jasper.
Nice, good call. And I'd be all over Carlisle like a cheap suit. So moving on to film 4, which is Breaking Dawn,
yay,
part 1.
We're getting
on
to the last two.
Oh, we really are. Now, the budget for this film, right?
Gone.
£110 million.
Where did
pounds,
they spend that money?
Dollars, not pounds, dollars. I think they spent it on...
Salaries?
Salaries. What happens in Breaking Dawn, part 1? Oh, they get married. So the wedding dress was quite expensive, I imagine.
Yep.
And then they go to that beautiful resort island, and they go to Rio. She's wearing a pair of Christian Louboutins in one scene.
And
they're quite expensive.
I got really annoyed with the chess scene, because that was obviously the ode to the front cover of the book. But I get a little bit kind of pissed of, hang on, are you trying to like make any chess scene, anything connection to the Thomas
Crown
Affair?
Fair,
because don't do it, you fuckwits. Again, language, I'm sorry.
But the thing is that the only people who would know that...
People who like films, and why the hell are they watching Breaking Dawn Part 1? Yeah, okay, I'll answer my question.
That is... What I will say about Breaking Dawn Part 1 is I think that the special effects budget, that's why it was so high.
What special effects?
The special effects on Bella wasting away.
Actually, that was quite good, but I'm kind of like...
It was awful.
How much was that real?
No, she is very thin. I mean, she's very thin generally,
this,
but...
This is where we get onto the whole... The last two films, and I can start commenting about her legs and how I actually... Again, another message which I think is really bad for young women watching this. She is so skinny, and I know we should accept people of different shapes and sizes... But from the first film to this film, and this film where she's obviously fucking around her boyfriend in real life, totally a stoner and messed in the head, she looks awful. It is painful. Not the bit where she gets skinny.
Okay.
But when she's supposed to be normal,
when
and even when she's a vampire.
Yeah.
It is painful to watch her on screen. She looks so gaunt and unhealthy. And I'm sorry, her legs look about the same size as my arms. When your knees are bigger than your thighs, there's a problem. Okay, I'm done.
I do.
It just that's another layer of things that of messages that you're giving to women watching this.
Yeah. Be thin, ladies, be thin, and completely sacrifice everything you are to make your man happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you'll
vampire,
get a big car.
If you can, you know, get a vampire boyfriend and become a vampire, you can be like, super skinny like me.
Do you know what? I love vampire fiction, right? I love vampire films. I really like vampires.
Yeah,
they're great. I watch
vampire.
All of the vampire stuff, but I've never
watched. True Blood season 6 coming. Yeah. And
it's
Rucker
got Kosinski in it. I'm fucking so
it's
excited. I know it's got Rucker, but it's got Rucker Kosinski in it, which means Alexander Skarsgård and Rucker Kosinski, two of my five, are in the same show.
God,
just
can you imagine
that.
If Vassbender went into True Blood?
Oh my god!
I was just
the universe
like,
would explode with awesome.
Universe or my lady bits.
On that bombshell. Anyway, as I was saying, yeah, I love all vampire stuff. I've always really, really loved it. But I've never, ever once in my life, ever, ever for a moment entertained the fact that you would ever actually have a vampire boyfriend. If I met a vampire, a proper vampire, I'd fucking run. I wouldn't be like, oh, no, you can bite my neck. Oh, I know you're trying, so you're struggling so hard against your vampirism. Fucking run!
What about werewolves?
No, I know there's no, bestiality, any kind of supernatural stuff. No.
Okay. Anyway, we're off topic.
We were
talking about these films, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah, I got really annoyed at how skinny she is.
How
she looks like a stoner, and she doesn't move her mouth,
and she mumbles,
does she?
She mumbles.
I mean, from the first film to the last two films, her acting ability is dropped massively.
Mm.
She is appalling in that last film.
Do you think it's because she
and
doesn't...
And like you said, Robert Pattinson is just kind of like laughing the whole way through, like, seriously, dude.
Yes, in Breaking Dawn Part 2.
I'm going to the bank with this shit. Yeah. Whatever, I'm just going to laugh now.
I just think, in Breaking Dawn Part 2, Robert Pattinson's like, I never have to be this fucking character again. I'm just going to have some fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first time I ever watched him as Edward Cullen and been like, oh, okay, now I understand why people like Edward Cullen.
Because he's
really, really enjoying himself, and he's actually quite funny, and he hasn't been for the rest of the films.
Well, I mean, when me and Suze went to see this at the cinema, this Part 2, Breaking Dawn Part 2, I literally laughed for about 20 minutes when the baby came on screen.
That was hilarious. Oh, the baby, when he's talking about the
baby.
There
were people kind of like looking at me in the cinema as I'm just having to cover myself with a scarf because I'm cracking up. They certainly did not spend the special effects budget on that.
Well, I think they did. I just think
it was really so bad.
I mean, it was really... Because the baby is this kind of horrendous CGI'd face on an actual baby where they've amalgamated Robert Pattinson's face and... Kristen Stewart's face, and the kid who actually plays their daughter.
Yeah, it's just...
older. And they've sort of mushed them all together and then stuck it on... Oh my... It's like some kind of crazy mutant monster.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely horrendous.
We just laugh thinking about it.
And also, I think we need to talk about the really inappropriate Jacob Renesmee relationship.
Oh, well, again, with stupid name Renesmee. Yes. Unfortunately... I think Stephanie Myers was smoking crack.
That she had lit with a $50 bill because she was so rich before she jumped into a swimming pool full of cash.
I mean, this is just messed up, and there is no way you can kind of, even if you're a big Twilight fan, get around this and justify this.
I can see why she wrote it like that.
But she took it too far with the Jacob being in love with Bella. She took it way too far for it to then turn about and say, actually, no, I've imprinted on your daughter. It went too far in the wrong way.
So you would be fine with the imprinting on to Renesmee?
Yep.
If he hadn't been all like, oh, Bella, I love you.
Yep.
Kissy face at the end.
I mean, seriously, you grow up. One, you've got to deal with you're like a vampire-human hybrid thing.
Mm.
Two, you've got to deal with the fact that, you know, you're betrothed, who you have to be betrothed with because you don't really have a choice because he's crazy.
Another example of women having their choices taken away from them.
You're betrothed, made out with your mum.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
Who actually still looks exactly the same age as when he made out with her, because she doesn't age because she's a vampire.
Yeah, that's... I wouldn't be hugely comfortable about that if
no,
I was
that's like Jeremy Kyle.
That is
trash. They are a Jeremy Kyle family. They're the Jeremy Kyle family of vampires.
They really, really are the Jeremy Kyle family of vampires. Oh dear. Yeah, I do. No. See,
it's creepy, it's incestuous, it's trailer trash, it's not being able to, you know, it's taking away the choices of women.
Feminist rant! Yeah.
Please ask me what my star rating of the last... We're going to put the last two films in one, I think.
Oh, yeah, star rating of the last two films.
Do they have to have a star? One. One. And that's one overall. And I'm only giving them one in the Twilight universe and in the film universe because I have to give them a star of some kind.
Okay, I see.
They're awful. I have no desire to ever watch those again unless I am stoned. And I don't get stoned, so I won't do that.
Okay, I have no desire to watch Breaking Dawn Part 1 or Breaking Dawn Part 2 ever again. It's true. However... Michael Sheen deserves a star.
There you go. That's why there's a star, because he's brilliant.
Because he is brilliant. He's particularly brilliant in Breaking Dawn Part 2. absolutely funny and scary and brilliant. And actually, we should talk about the end of Breaking Dawn Part 2 and...
Oh, where everything got all crazy and messed up.
Well, because...
Did it happen?
Did you read the books?
Yes.
Did you read all four of the books?
Yes.
So you read Breaking Dawn?
Yeah, gonna have to remind me because I get confused. I forget these things.
Okay, so Breaking Dawn is a weighty, like, 500-page monstrosity of a book. It's humongous.
Yeah, and it switches between the different voices. It switches between
being from Bella's point of view, which is all of the books leading up to that have all been from Bella's point of view.
Yep.
And then in Breaking Dawn, it switches between Bella and Jacob.
Yep.
Which it kind of does in the film as well. There's scenes where it's from Jacob's point of view and Bella is not on screen. You don't really see her wasting away. Thank God! The whole of Breaking Dawn, the book, is a build-up to a massive fight.
Yes.
All the way through, they're talking about it and they're getting people together to come and help them and save them. And then at the end, the Volturi come along and go, oh, well, maybe we just...
Yeah.
Should we not bother today? We'll just... No. Should we go home? All right. We're going to go. Right, take care. Enjoy your lives. I'll see ya. So it's like, oh, I've just fucking read 500 pages of a novel, which was really shit, overly, like, absolutely overly long, full of nonsense, and I don't even get a fight scene at the end. It was just, like, the worst kind of sex. It was all build up and no climax. And... clearly the film people realised that that was a problem.
Oh, and then we had the imaginary.
Yes, and so spoiler, you had an actual fight scene. Oh yeah, so actually,
we say spoiler. But if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Breaking Dawn,
if you're listening to this and you haven't seen any of the Twilight films, we've not actually said what they're about. Really, we've just kind of gone on a bit of a feminist rant.
Yeah, sorry
about
everything.
We didn't really need to talk about what happens in these films, did we? Everybody knows, surely.
There's vampires as well, or else there's some stupid bint who gets skinnier and skinnier. There you go.
And they're vegetarians, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And none of them have sex before marriage. Also.
No, but when they have sex, they break beds and rip up feather pillows.
Passionate.
And,
the first time you have sex, girls, you're going to get pregnant. Just so you know.
I think that's probably a good message to maybe say, just, you know, use protection, even if he's a vampire, please.
I don't think that was the message in that, though.
That's what I took away.
I took away the fact that if you have sex, girls, you're going to get ripped from the inside out by a monster. It's going to destroy you.
If you haven't seen the film, that isn't actually what happens.
No, but in the
it's
book...
It's not a horror film. She just has lots of bruises because he's super strong. But that's bad.
He is a bit horrible. When the baby is actually born and it rips its way out of her womb using its teeth, and then Edward has to help also using his teeth.
Yeah, I believe that is actually what childbirth is like.
Isn't it? Do you really think you bit your way out of your mother's womb?
Wouldn't surprise me.
And that your dad also is like, come here, dear.
Okay, well, maybe this is what I imagine childbirth would feel like.
Wow. Let's hope you never get pregnant, because otherwise you're going to be absolutely fucking
I'm
going to
get drugged up. Can you wake me up in 8 months, please?
Thanks. I'm just going to lay here. You can feed me stuff. On the notes I made for Breaking Dawn Part 2, I've got, like, the director's name. And the budget and how much it grossed and stuff. And then I've got 3 points. Number one says Michael Sheen. Number two says Pat's having fun. And number three says OMG, the baby.
Yeah, that does sum up the fire films. So I think, yeah, well, if you haven't seen them, just stick with the first one.
Actually, yeah, I think if you haven't seen them, just watch the first one. If you've not read the books, just read the first one and just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And you will be much, much happier.
Whatever you do, do not try to watch the whole lot of them in one day, because you will really, like, get towards the end and want to kill yourself.
You'll be halfway through Eclipse and you'll turn to the person who you're watching it with and say, "What? Can we stop after this? I don't think I can take anymore." And if you're unlucky as I was, the person sitting next to you will go, "No, we're committed to this. We must watch them all."
Yes, I am.
Thanks for that, by the way. You really are. Thanks for that, man. I really appreciate it.
So the legacy, it's over. Twilight is done. So we now get to continue it with Fifty Shades.
Fifty Shades.
Do you reckon they're going to make the film?
Yes. The problem is with making this film.
I kind of actually think I'm going to have to go and see this film at cinema.
Of course you are. Of course you are going to have to go
and see
it.
That's a good question. Do I cinema or do I? Could I bring myself to pay for this? I kind of. No, because it was really quite funny going to see Breaking Dawn in the cinema.
It was. It was an experience. I think you're going to have to see it at the cinema.
So if Twilight, you know, unleashes the feminist rant and just is utterly despicable in the messages it sends out to young women, 50 Shades takes it even further.
It does.
So really many does. Things wrong, not just the prose. And, you know,
the prose is bad. Do you know, they made so much money out of 50 Shades of Grey that everybody at Random House was given an iPad for Christmas that year.
Nice.
A fucking iPad.
They made you pissed that you don't work there.
Hugely pissed that I didn't work there. Fucking hell. Every member of Random House.
It is
UK
a bit of a shame that we, you know, we finally got past the Twilight thing and it has, it is just continuing.
It's continuing. 50 Shades of Grey is...
vampires for... bondage,
yeah, for bondage
and spanking.
Because 50 Shades of Grey is Twilight, but instead of being a vampire, the leading man is a sadomasochist.
I think this just brings us to, could bring us totally onto the topic of the state of feminism and women's...
Yeah, in women's
lives outlook
today.
And what women's expectations and the way women kind of like embrace their supposed sexual freedom within our society. But that is too much of a depressing conversation.
It is quite a depressing conversation.
And Stephen will probably edit that out.
He will definitely edit it. What? Okay, so 50 Shades of Grey is Twilight, but whereas Twilight was all about abstinence, 50 Shades of Grey is all about getting handcuffed and whipped.
Yeah?
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not quite seeing a problem.
there's something wrong with that? Okay, right, so, now, the feminist in me needs to needs to point out the fact that in a dominant and submissive relationship, the person with the power is the submissive.
I thought you've researched this.
No.
Yes,
no, because,
yes.
Because in order to be dominated... the dominant partner has to ask permission from the submissive to do it. And there are,
oh, yeah.
As in the book, it's clearly stated out, there are lots and lots of rules involved.
Oh, yeah.
So he can't do anything to her that she hasn't given him permission to do.
Yep.
So, technically speaking...
okay.
The power in that relationship lies with her.
Yes.
However...
not the emotional with her.
No. In theory, the power in that relationship should lie with her, is actually what I should say. In the reality of the book, the power in that relationship doesn't lie with her, because that...
she's doing it to please him.
She's doing it to please him. She's not really that into it herself.
Mm.
And it bleeds out of just, you know, sex play,
yep,
into their relationship outside of it. And he continues to be the dominant partner in the relationship outside of the,
yeah,
bedroom slash bedroom of pain.
So I think maybe this is the lesson that all women need to take away from this. If you want to have a what's the correct phrase for it?
Sadomasochistic
relationship with someone, you can't do it with someone you're in love with, folks. I'm sorry. You're going to have to separate your emotion and your perverted sexual needs into two. I think that's what we all need to take from this.
I think that is what we need to take from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lessons learned in a podcast.
Indeed. So, 50 Shades of Grey has turned into three books.
Yeah, they'll get three films out of that. They haven't actually confirmed any casting, have they?
Well, there's been a leak Emma Watson is going to be...
No.
She has denied it.
She would deny it. She'd have to. She'd be contracted to deny it.
Yeah, you'd have to deny it. But, when that came out, I was like, oh, actually, yeah, I can kind of see that. I think it would be her.
Feels dirty. Feels wrong. She's Hermione.
Yeah, how better to distance yourself from Hermione Granger than by being Anastasia Steele?
How many male friends who've, like, done that thing where we've gotten into the later Harry Potter films, so like, it's alright to have a look at her now.
Yeah, exactly.
And now
going
to be like,
now
we can watch her have sex on screen. Oh, God, no.
Yes. She's going to be, that'll be her first topless, well, it's going to have to be topless, but
she doesn't have
any
boobs, so it's alright.
I don't really know. Doesn't she have any boobs? I'm sure she does.
Well, what would you call them? They're buds.
Oh, my God, I can't believe
it. Isn't that what you refer to, like, very small boobs as?
That's not what I refer to very small boobs as. I don't think I've ever referred to very small boobs in my life, to be honest with you. Why the hell are we talking about this? Let's stop. Let's talk about Oh man, what happens is you get me off the point and then I forget the point and then it all
distracted
goes
by boobs.
Distracted by boobs. Okay, so Emma Watson, who should be Christian Grey?
Well, everyone wants Ryan Gosling, don't they?
I don't want it to be the Gos. I don't think he'd do it. I hope he doesn't do it. Please don't do it, Ryan Gosling.
I think Michael Fassbender would be awesome.
Yeah, of course you think Michael Fassbender would be awesome. What I was going to say is I don't see how they can do this film. Because when you read the book, it is literally porn. It's like mummy porn.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a linking scene. And then, oh, we're driving in the car. And then we pull into a car park and have sex. And then we drive. And then we get home and we have sex in the elevator. And then we go to the apartment. And then we have sex on the piano. And then it's like, yeah.
But
okay,
the audience for this isn't the teenagers. This is the naughty book that teenagers might be trying to get hold of. But the audience for this is all these women who've grown up with Twilight, who are still old enough to go and see this when it gets an 18 certificate.
How hardcore can it really be, though? And if it's not hardcore,
I don't think it needs to be hardcore. I think they can do it.
It doesn't really have a plot apart from the let me.
Oh, come on, like Twilight has a plot.
Yeah, well, but Twilight's got vampires.
How many films do you watch where you watch and you just think, this had no plot? Nothing really happened here. That happens a lot. They don't need it. They just need the titillation. I got the word.
They need beautiful
again.
People to get their boobs out.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it. Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
I think I'm gonna go slide.
I'm just a bit sad that you know, but this kind of story and these kind of plots are still being continued. But then I've had conversations with other people in pubs and chats and other women about this, and obviously we've got a very feminist standpoint from it. But we discussed it with some of the messages it's sending out. But then some women are just saying, hey, this is escapism. I don't want to live like this, but this is fantastic.
See,
escapism.
I'm kind of torn between by Fifty Shades of Grey, because there's part of me that's like, this is the power dynamic in this relationship is dreadful, and there are all these women who are like, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if, oh, I really want to meet a Christian Grey. It's like, no, you fucking don't want to meet a Christian Grey.
Breathe, Suze.
If you met a Christian Grey, run in the opposite direction, he is going to ruin your life. But then the other part of me read it and was like, oh, this is naughty fun, isn't it? Oh, titillation, oh, and let's all
see,
have a giggle
about
it.
See, I felt wrong because I read and thought, this isn't that bad. We're totally off Twilight now, though.
We are, but, you know, that's because
a lot of this is going to get edited out by Stephen.
I would imagine. The problem is he's going to edit this down. It's going to be like 5 minutes of us being like, send out bad messages.
Pants ferrets.
Pant ferrets and
booby buds.
Okay, well, should we wrap this up? Should we wrap the show
up? I think we're done. I think. Glad Twilight is over. Oh, what we haven't commented on is their faux romance.
The showmance?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk
which
about
is
the
so
showmance
over now.
Quickly. Is it over? It's not been in the press, but that's because.
Yeah, exactly.
Got
no, it's just. It's kind of. It's you every now and then you see something in the press saying it's over. It's totally over.
Incidentally, the showmance we're talking about is Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, who obviously met during the first Twilight film.
Yep. Obviously
did have a real relationship.
She went and fucked someone else. Good work.
Bad girl.
Got caught.
Oh,
if
girl.
You're, you know, one of the most recognised actresses in the entire world, don't go make out with your married boyfriend in a park car park.
Yeah, that
you're gonna get caught.
That's pretty dumb. That
obviously, she is exhibiting self-destructive behaviour. He obviously broke it off. The PR companies and then, you know, the studios obviously made them pretend they were back together for the release of the film. Films have been released. You haven't seen them really together since.
Sad. I feel sorry. I feel bad for him. But I also feel sorry for actors that, in order to effectively sell their films, they have to pretend that they're in love with each other, like, yeah, but in real life.
You watched interviews when they were doing like the final interview rounds with them together, and those two in group interviews, and he was just cold.
Well,
he was just cold to her. It was
like,
sad.
Right,
to see.
You fucking cheated on me, and I've got to hold your hand at premieres and pretend like I give a shit about you, when really I don't ever want to see you again, bitch.
I'm gonna say, you know, I'm gonna go with the whole, you know, cheating happens, relationship shit happens. It's just. She humiliated him.
Did she?
In front of the world.
Did she humiliate him? What, just by cheating on him with...
No, by cheating on him and then being in the circumstance where they pretend that he took her back in front of the world.
Well, that's not his fault. But the thing is, he could have said no. People were going to go see these films anyway.
Very true.
As if people...
Have you got, like, a bonus? don't think they should be in the podcast. We shouldn't comment on their relationship.
No, I don't think we should. Put a horse meat burger in front of that girl and let her eat it topical.
When all the photos coming out of them at like the premieres and things. Whew, she looks scary.
What, because she's so thin?
Yeah. I do feel a bit sorry for her, even with all the money she's got.
My problem with Kristen Stewart is simply that she can't fucking act. If she was a better actress, I'd like her a lot more. But she can't act, and I don't like her. And she mumbles her way through all of the Twilight films. Mumble, 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 Edward. Mumble, 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 mumble. But Edward. Mumble, 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 mumble. Jacob. Mumble, mumble, mumble. That is literally.
Renesmee.
Fucking hell.
Okay, we're done, I think. I have nothing else to say about these stupid films. This is how it goes with Twilight. You start at the beginning. You go, oh, actually, this is not bad. I mean, it's a silly concept, and it's all fantasy. And, oh, this is all right. And then it just goes on, and you just go mad.
Yeah, you lose the will to live slightly, don't you?
You start rambling about... It just goes on for too long. Crap.
You start rambling about how thin the lead actress is.
This podcast has just completely gone downhill the further we've got into the franchise. That's what happens with
That's this. Because I stopped having notes, and I started just having, like...
No, it's a Twilight effect.
Bullet points, yeah. Because there's not really anything
to
talk about.
We need to coin this, the Twilight effect. The further you go into a franchise, the shittier it gets.
That's every franchise.
What do you mean, like the new Star Wars films are not going to be awesome?
Well, no. And on that bombshell, I think we should, in fact, call it a day. But actually, just one more thing, just quickly. Vampires don't fucking sparkle. They burn in the sun.